If you must play a game, decide three things at the outset: the rules of the game, the stakes, and the quitting time. According to a recent study of American middle-class youth, the average child growing up today, by the time they turn 18, will spend approximately 10,000 hours playing electronic video games. When those results are put in parallel with an older study about world-class musicians, one finds that by the time one is 18 and puts 10,000 hours into video gaming, one should be world-class at something, just unclear what. Depending on which further study you read, the effects of this video game compulsion run the gamut, from the highly praiseworthy creative deeds of our youngest generations to other things. But what is most surprising to me about most of these studies is that they are written by people who have never played video games themselves, who have no sense of the rules of such games, and only make broad generalizations about their effects. And that's merely funny, because it is a well-known fact, known well even to the ancients, that those things to which we commit ourselves in our youth, to which we commit ourselves at great length, create the framework for our later lives. We carry with us, for good or ill, the patterns we pick up even as we play games, even when we are children. So I ask you, many obviously beyond your 18th year, what games are you playing? What games have you played? And how have they affected your life and the way you act in this community? I'm sure the answer would be many and various. Some might even hold up a hand and say, "But Art, I don't play games anymore." You could learn to play bridge. Heard that at the beginning of the service. But seriously, we all have our games, don't we? Whether they are organized and use cards or board games or video games, certainly we've all played a game or gamed a system, or realize that someone was toying with us. In fact, even these ways of being in community with one another can have the same kinds of effects on us that we suggest a video gaming culture has on our children. And so I ask again, what games do you play? Are you perhaps like the crowd who gathered around Jesus in today's portion of Matthew's gospel, to whom Jesus says, "To what shall I compare this generation?" They are like children playing games. Now, Jesus knows lots of things, but I seriously doubt that he's overly concerned with the exact games that these adults played, but he has an idea of what they might have been like. Strange games. Like children playing in the marketplace. Saying, I played the flute for you. This is a game of celebration, but you didn't dance. I mourned. Played the funeral game. Kind of strange, unless, like my uncle, you grew up in an undertaker's household. But you did not weep. And this has affected your way of being in the world. Fickle, fickle children. It's made you suspicious, skeptical, untrusting, even of the messengers that God has sent. John came playing your funeral game, fasting and in rough dress, and you said he had a demon. And the Son of Man has come, dressed in a festal garment, eating and drinking, and you call him a drunkard. The games you play, the rules by which they are played, have marked your life, Jesus says, and made you the people that you are today. Now, on the one hand, this may seem like an isolated critique to an ancient community. But I think it addresses something that is deeper and certainly moves its way through history. We've pondered for a moment the kinds of games that we play with one another, but now the question is, how's that treating you? How you feel about the way your life goes on? This seems to be the core of what St. Paul is messing about with in his letter to the Romans. I, for one, think he sounds a little bit like he's having a break, even though Bob did such an admirable job of parsing all of those ongoing sentences. The very thing I want to do, I do not do, and the stuff I don't want to do is exactly what I do. Seems like there's a war going on within me. Now, Paul has a unique way of talking about that, but it's something I've certainly experienced, and perhaps in not so schizophrenic terms. It seems as if Paul has woken up at some point in the second part of his life to the notion that what he is doing is not what he was created to do. That the games that he is playing don't match up with who God intends him to be. And he speaks in exasperated terms. The effort that it takes to be so double-minded with that law in the members and the law in the mind. It's hard work to do that work of battle. It's hard work to play those games by those rules. And it is into that tiredness, it is into that exhaustion that Jesus speaks his word of grace today. Come unto me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Friends, if you are tired of the games, if you are tired of the unease in your life, Jesus is offering you an opportunity to quit and to play a different game. Take my yoke upon you, he says, and learn from me, and you will find rest for your soul. Now, at the outset, Jesus' offer may not seem to be one we want to quite get into. Our games are familiar to us, after all, and we as Christians at least believe we have a deep understanding of what Jesus is all about, the game that he is playing, the burdens that he is going to shoulder. And his offer seems, well, a little bit absurd. Take on his yoke. Save the world from its sins and bring to rights God's image for his creation. But if we take a step back, that is, from the cosmic and get a little bit more practical with what Jesus is all about, we might find a way through. Take my yoke upon me, he says, and learn from me, for I am meager and humble of heart. One can't help but hear the echoes of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, his ethical statements about how we deal with one another with compassion. Maybe that's the yoke that Jesus would have us take. Maybe that's the game that Jesus wants us to play. It would certainly be closer to who we are by design, made as we are in the image and likeness of God, the ever-compassionate, the ever-loving, the one who would come and take our burdens from us. That sounds about right. And in getting back to who we really are, we might actually find the rest that Jesus has in mind for us. Not because compassion is easy. I don't really read Jesus' dichotomy of easy and hard work as being those things that are simple versus those things are complex, or even those things we'd rather do versus the things we'd rather not. Compassion isn't always convenient, right? But I hear in Jesus' invitation the opportunity to do that thing which is most fitting to us. Or to make a bold statement and turn it around a bit, that thing for which we are most fit. That thing we were designed to do. To be compassionate towards one another. To design our lives and our interactions around the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus says if we would commit ourselves to that effort that we are uniquely fit for and is uniquely fitting to us, we would indeed find rest. That rest that we all know in passing when we are doing those things in our lives that we are comfortable doing. That we feel like we were made to do. And we get to that place of rest by shouldering Jesus' yoke and playing the game that he would have us play. And so, my friends, this morning let us commit ourselves to quit our old patterns and the old games. To value these stakes that Jesus has given us, our very own humanity. And to embrace the rule of compassion that Jesus offers. And you will find rest for your soul. Amen.